It's time to talk to the voice of the Jayhawks every Thursday here at 9:30. Brian Haney, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Millen Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Mr. Haney, how you doing today, man?
Wade, doing great. How are you, bud?
I'm doing good. Y'all psyched and ready to go for Saturday?
I think so. Red Hawks, Jayhawks. What more could you ask for? It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, the Hawks versus the Hawks. Before we go any further, you had a chance this summer to come out and visit us, and you had a chance to meet Matt Anderson. And he's a bit of a Jayhawk fan, isn't he?
Oh, he's diehard, man. He was throwing recruiting questions at me that was so inside. And I can't talk recruiting, obviously, because I work for CAU. But, I mean, he was talking about 2019 guys. So he studies this stuff as much as anybody I know. And he's obviously hanging on every play, every word of these broadcasts. So we really appreciate his sponsorship. Just a terrific guy and an excellent operation to go with there. Whether you're living in the Glen Elder or Beloit area, he is fantastic there at Anderson Insurance.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's start with what's going to take place coming up on Saturday. First, I want to ask you about the Orange Bowl team that's going to be honored, and then they're going to be Anthony Collins, Aqib Talib, Mark Mangino will be honored into the KU Hall of Fame. It's interesting because I've been asked this by a few people. Do you think that's kind of weird or awkward, or is that a bad thing with Mark Mangino being there on Saturday? And my response was, well, if it was just Mangino by himself, I think that'd be more awkward. But the fact that it's the team that's being recognized and the fact that Talib and Collins and others will be there, how do you not have the head coach of a team that went 12-1 and won an Orange Bowl? I mean, he had a winning record at Kansas. To me, I think it's just fine.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm going to have a chance to talk with Coach Mangino later today in a podcast you'll see up on KUAthletics.com this afternoon. I'm excited to talk to him. I think he said all the right things in coming home these last couple of weeks ever since it was announced and made public. And, he's going to be there for his players, but also he's going to be there to go in the Hall of Fame himself. But if there was any bitterness over the way things went down at the end of his tenure, he's willing to put that aside to honor All-Americans like Aqib and Anthony. And the fact that, get this, way, 90% of the Orange Bowl roster is coming back. That's tough to do.
Yeah.
You talk about 85 football players and guys that are spread out all over the country. 90% of them are coming back. Of course he needs to be there for that. And obviously, he's going to get the biggest ovation of anybody, I think. It's been 10 years now, and I think a lot of people, even at the time, even with the information that was out there, didn't want to see Coach go, based on what he's done. I mean, this is a guy that took Kansas to its first and only back-to-back bowl games in consecutive seasons. And so he will be forever beloved, I would say, in the minds of the vast majority of KU football fans. And even those that maybe had a little bit of pause over what was being reported at the time, late in his tenure, I think continuous time later, have had a chance to reflect on just what he meant to this program and forgive and forget and all that. And quite frankly, just to call it like it is, nothing makes you appreciate a guy more than when he goes away, the bottom drops out. And that's been the case over the last 8 or 9 years. Now we've got a guy that we believe in, David Beatty, a former member of Mark Mangino's staff, that's going to get this thing right back on track, competing for bowl games on an annual basis. And I think this is the year you see that dramatic leap forward. So pretty exciting to think about what might hold for us here in the next 4 months or so, because to me, I look at this season similar to Bill Whittemore's 2003 campaign when they made the jump from a 2-win football team to a 6-win team. And we're not going to give win projections or predictions here just yet, but I do think this is a team that could make a comparable leap in terms of surpassing expectation and really putting themselves back on the map. And that was a Mark Mangino-led team that went to the Tangerine Bowl down in Orlando. And again, we're not going to guarantee bowl games or anything just yet here, but I do think you're going to see Kansas in contention for talk like that, especially if these first 6 weeks go the way we think they could.
Before we look at the opener coming up on Saturday, this is a bummer of a deal in my opinion, but at the same time, it's very fortuitous. And that is, if people don't understand or know the story, Running back Octavius Matthews, a highly touted recruit. David Beatty was giddy when he was committing to Kansas, but now he will not play at Kansas because of a heart condition. And I saw that Coach Beatty said, you know, all the testing, everything that we did may have saved his life. Why don't you fill in the KU fans about this young kid? It's a bummer because he can't play football anymore, but at the same time, he's still alive, and they caught this soon enough after his mother had passed away recently due to heart complications.
Really, really sad deal, but as you said, fortunate that some advanced screening stuff that doesn't go on at every school, but is a regular part of the battery of tests they run on incoming Kansas student athletes, was able to uncover, you know, the health risk that, boy, you shudder to even say out loud what that could have looked like if that would have happened on the football field with what was a bit of a ticking clock situation in his heart if he was playing competitive sports at that type of exertion level. So for Octavius Matthews, who David Beatty inferred it on Tuesday, I mean, he thought this guy could play for pay someday in the NFL. He was that type of prospect. He had a scholarship offer from Auburn, had a scholarship offer from Mississippi State. He was one of the best junior college running backs a year ago, one of the most highly sought-after guys for the JC ranks. And, you know, Kansas was thrilled to get him. You know, he was a teammate of Peyton Bender at Itawamba Community College, and you know, kind of got a package deal there with those two, and they were thrilled about it. But unfortunately, his career's come to an end. Yet what I love about the culture that David Beatty's created at Kansas is it really is family atmosphere. And they've embraced him and are finding ways to try to keep him with his head up and encourage, as Coach Beatty said, he's not ready to talk to the media right now. To lose your mother 3 months ago and then lose your career, which for a lot of these guys at 21 years old, that's their identity. That's what defines them as individuals. You know, it won't over the course of their lives, but when you tell a 21-year-old the thing that he's poured the most blood, sweat, and tears into his entire life is now gone, that can cause you to reevaluate everything. And so, you know, Coach Beatty's been terrific, and as have Octavius's teammates. And he will, as long as he wants to be here, have a chance to stay and study as a student and be a part of this team, you know, in some capacity. And as Coach Beatty said, he may still have a future in professional football. He may be as a coach, and they want to give him a chance to, you know, hone whatever skills that he might have to extend his football career away from playing but towards something else. So they're really handling this situation well. But, you know, prayers and thoughts go out to Octavius. I just cannot even begin to imagine having two such crushing pieces of news delivered in a three-month span. And God bless him, man. I mean, the adversity this young man is going through right now is pretty unbearable. And yet, from what I hear, he's handled it as well as could be imagined. So thoughts certainly with him.
Yeah, feel for the kid, no doubt. I felt the pain just reading that story. I'm like, man, he's excited. He's going to the football program's excited about him, and then that happened. Brian Haney is with us, the voice of Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday at 9:30 by Anderson Insurance Agency there in Beloit. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them 738-5701. Okay, so the depth chart came out on Monday, the most recent one. Anything on the depth chart for the football team that surprised you a little bit?
You know, I think that there were some from the fan base that were concerned that you didn't see Daylon Charlotte running with the ones at receiver. He's the Alabama transfer that was a four-star recruit and a guy that was rated the number 8 overall receiver in the country coming out of high school. I wouldn't read too much into that. Now, that does say that Jeremiah Booker and some of these other guys had terrific camps, and Coach Beatty has gone as far as saying, you know, Daylon has shown brilliant flashes, but we got to get him to sustain it and be able to stay on the field for all throughout camp. And if I had to guess, and I shouldn't be in the business of guessing, but I think that has more to do with endurance than it does any type of injury. I don't think he's nicked up or anything like that. So I think he's fine. And I think, as Coach Beatty said, listen, you know, you can look at the ones and the twos all you want, but in our offense and even in their defensive scheme, a lot of times you're going to see a lot of shuffling going on, but particularly with the skill positions. I mean, if you're a receiver out there for the first couple of snaps, we're going to see the twos come out for the third and fourth snaps more than likely. So it really doesn't matter a whole lot there. You've got probably 8 guys that are going to be catching, I would say, substantial passes this year. And they're all kind of jumped into one group. Now, clearly, Steven Sims is a breakout star. He was near, you know, the top 5 in about every receiving category a year ago in the Big 12. Jeremiah Booker's a captain on this team, and all he needs is 12 games of good health, and he'll prove that he's one of the best guys Kansas has had in quite some time. But, you've got a guy in Charlotte who I think has big-time playmaking potential, and so don't be upset that he's right now listed as a second-string receiver. He's going to be in the mix plenty. Other folks might be surprised that Charles Baldwin, the other Alabama transfer, isn't the starter at right tackle right now. And he had a hot camp battle with Antoine Frazier, and Frazier just flat out beat him right now. That doesn't mean that the big 6'6", 6-pounder isn't going to be back in the mix, competing to start at some point over the course of the year, but it hasn't been the just pencil him in right away type scenario that many were forecasting when he first transferred. He was a guy that it was a JUCO guy that committed to Alabama, was the number one junior college offensive lineman, and spent the past year as a transfer here. He's going to find a way to make a dent and an impact. But the fact that the competition's been as good as it has to force him down on a two line, I think, does say a lot about the depth and breadth of this offensive line right now. So Zach Yenser, our own line coach, has a lot to be excited about when a five-star guy gets pushed to the second line.
From all reports, KU has their starting quarterback. They just haven't announced it publicly. Tom Keegan of KUSports.com declared to Peyton Bender as a starting quarterback. I know he's not the head coach. But would it surprise you if Peyton Bender is not under center for the first snap on Saturday?
Man, you know how to phrase those questions in such an impressive and crafty way.
Thank you.
Would it surprise you if he was not under center? I think he'll be in shotgun formation. Whoever the quarterback is. I shoot straight with you guys, and I have not seen the depth chart. I have seen practices where both guys have been running with the ones. But I told you when we started up these reports a week ago that the guy I think that has the highest ceiling is probably Peyton. And there's throws he can make that nobody else on the roster can make right now. But I also tip my cap to Carter, and I hope we get to see Carter, at some point on Saturday, because that probably means KU's up big, and if not Saturday, at some point this season, because as David Lawrence likes to say, 70% of the time in college football, you're going to need two quarterbacks at some point in your season. It's a rarity when you make it through the entire season with just one. But I think it's been a great battle, and I think, it was a great battle not because Peyton came in and wasn't quite as good as advertised, the former Washington State Cougar, but because Carter just wouldn't back down. And so I would be surprised if we didn't see Peyton out there, just because I feel like he gives this team the highest possible ceiling. But I'm a big Carter Stanley fan, and I won't be disappointed if Carter winds up getting some reps this year. I think that's the best way to phrase it. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Peyton, but I won't be disappointed if it's Carter getting some substantial reps, because this team clearly respects him a ton. He can move the chains as well. But I think there's some big-time throws that only number 7 can make, and I'm excited to get to call those throws, because I think they're going to be plentiful in the season ahead.
Well, it's interesting. When you look at the quarterback situation, it seems like KU's better set at quarterback than they have been the last few years, so that's making progress. And then, of course, a best friend to a quarterback, no matter who the quarterback is a good running game, and KU seems to have some, solid talent in the backfield and guys that can actually, they don't have to put it all on one guy. Herbert or Martin, they both could maybe carry the load.
Yeah, they could, and then I think they love the four-star freshman Dom Williams, who'll be a household name, and who knows what this would have looked like if Octavius hadn't had the heart ailment, because he would have really had a lot of mouths to feed. But Martin, I mean, imagine this. He was a sub-4.440 guy a year ago, and apparently he's even more explosive and has shed some significant weight, and they're fine with that. They want him to be a lightning rod, and I think he could be that. And Khalil Herbert's put on that weight that Martin shed. Herbert, if you saw him right now from the waist up, looks like, one of those professional arm wrestlers from Over the Top back in the day. I mean, this guy's jacked.
Nice
reference. He's like Wade Gerstner after, swole up leaving the gym. So he's a guy you definitely want to keep an eye on in the open field, because he'll run through you, he'll stiff arm you, blow by you. And then there's the guy that probably has the brightest future of them all in this four-star freshman, Dom Williams. So I think, you'll see those two veterans get a steady diet early, but don't be surprised if it's Dom Williams you walk away talking about the most on Saturday night. And the same can be said about a freshman receiver, Quan Hampton. We were talking about receivers earlier. I didn't mention Quan. I think he's a guy that generates some buzz, even if he only gets the ball 2 or 3 times, because he's got that that game-breaking ability every time he touches it.
You call me clever. You're clever for getting an over-the-top reference into this interview. Well done, my man. Well done. All right, the Red Hawks versus the Jayhawks. What can you tell us about Southeast Missouri State, the opponent for KU on Saturday there in Lawrence? I know they were 3-8 last year, but what can you tell us about them?
Well, you know, it's a club that, even though they were 3-8, had a lot of close losses, and I think were better than what that record might indicate. They're picked 7th out of 9 in the Ohio Valley, so that won't strike a ton of fear into you, but they do have a returning starting quarterback, which is something they haven't had in 6 years, to return the same signal caller from the previous season. And so I think Coach Took is pretty confident that they can take a step forward when you have that type of continuity at the most important position. I love this kid named Chad Meredith, who wears number 7. He's a linebacker. He should be playing at the major conference level. I mean, he's a big-time talent for the Ohio Valley, and he'll be making plays and looking the part throughout the game. And they've got a couple of playmakers on this team that are pretty explosive, Cameron Sanders being one of them. He's going to be a running back this year. He was a all-conference kick returner a year ago, and every time he touches it, they feel like it's got a chance to go the distance. And then they have a junior college running back from Highland just down the road that they feel, you know, could be an all-conference type player that's got some real buzz around him right now, Marquez Perry. So I think there's definitely some Red Hawks to respect and to fear in some regard, but I don't think it's a situation where, like we saw late in the Charlie Weiss era, when these guys rally to rattle off 28 straight, come back, and just lose by 6. This should not be one of those games. And I say that with all due respect to the Red Hawks. That has to do with my confidence in the steps forward Kansas has made. If they allow the Red Hawks to hang around in this thing, I think it's concerning, because you've got a much bigger test coming up next week in Central Michigan, and even tougher after that at Ohio. You want to see Kansas win convincingly. You want to see Kansas in all three phases win emphatically. And that's not sleeping on anything going on over there in Cape Girardeau. That's just saying, hey, if we truly have made this leap, let's go out and back it up in all three phases. And that's my hope for this team, and quite frankly, that's my expectation for Saturday night.
All right. Grab your crystal ball. Tell us how many wins you think this team will get this year.
Didn't you try to do this last week? Today?
I did. I just want to see if you change your mind and actually give me something a little bit better than last week. How's that, my man? Because that's what everybody asks me. Everybody asks me that. I mean, we get asked all the time, well, who's going to be the best team in our area, whether it be high school sports, or how many wins do you think K-State's going to get? How many wins Nebraska, Oklahoma? Who's going to win the Big 12? Can KU, you know, how many wins can KU get after winning 2 last year? And so I get asked that question all the time, and I have to admit, I'm passing the buck to you, man. You know it better than I do.
All right, well, I hope I'm wrong, and it's even more than this. But, you know, we're not supposed to talk numbers because, man, sometimes that's selling your team short, even when you feel like sticking your chest out and saying, you know, they're going to do better than what everybody else is saying. But I'll try to give you something. Give me Abraham Lincoln on a bill. Give me George Brett on a Royals jersey. Give me the number of fingers on your kid's right hand. That's what I'm going to say for KU football this year. And I hope I'm wrong, and it's even more. And we're talking about a bowl in December.
5 would be a great step forward. From 2 to 5, that'd be a huge year for KU football. No question about that. All right, time for off-the-wall question. It was our Facebook question today, Brian, and that is, in a 65-mile-an-hour zone, how fast do you drive?
Wow. You know, I try to drive 74 and not go to 10-plus, but I've got a really heavy right foot, so much so that when I was doing what you do as a local sports director – and driving a ton during March Madness time, I actually had a local sponsor. It was a carpet company, a flooring company, that sponsored my speeding tickets.
Oh.
And that wasn't a license to go out and get more of them, because, as you know, if you get 3, all of a sudden your license is suspended.
Yeah.
But it was insurance on picking them up, because death, taxes, and Brian picking up a speeding ticket in March were like the 3 certainties in life. And one time I got pulled over in Northwest Missouri coming back from NCAA tournament game in Omaha, and it was by clearly a Missouri Tiger cop, because I had a Jayhawk vehicle, you know, big birds all up and down the right and left side, and he hit me with the steepest ticket I'd ever seen. But having said that, I try to do better now. But back when I was, you know, late 20s or so, I was good for 1 or 2 a year and pleading all the diversions I could get and trying to get sponsorship help to cover the cost.
Man, that sounds like profiling that Missouri cop. That's not right. It's not right at all.
I know.
It's not.
probably shouldn't dive too deep into that.
Yeah, yeah. Just forget.
Forget
the fact you were actually speeding and breaking the law, but still, you know. So how fast? Yeah. What's the fastest you ever driven? I'll answer mine real quick. I'll answer to help you out. The fastest I ever drove in a vehicle was, I think, about 110. And yes, I did that on Interstate 70 when we got back from a trip when I was in college. It was a tennis trip while I was at Bethany for 2 years down at Hilton Head. We came back on a plane in the Salina, and then a friend and I had to both go back out to Western Kansas, and we got back like at, I think, like 1 in the morning, and we couldn't wait to just get home, and it's been a long trip. And so him and I both were, shall we say, challenging each other on Interstate. Not smart, not something I'm proud of, but I think I got the car all the way up to 110, maybe a little bit higher. That's the fastest you've ever driven.
Wow, that's impressive. I've never been... Can I say ballsy on the air? I guess I just did. I've never been that enough to like go for it like you did. I think for me it'd be like 95, 96, and it was inadvertent, not paying attention, looking down, and the, oh no, look how fast I'm going type thing.
Yeah.
But never north of triple digits and never, you know, 10 past that. So kudos to you, man. You got more hair on your chest than I do.
No, I'm just dumber than most people. Let's just be honest. That wasn't very smart. But you do things when you're younger, and you learn from those mistakes. And luckily, I didn't get pulled over. That would have been a real hefty ticket, much more than your Missouri cop ticket, I would imagine. That would have been a lot. 9:52 is our time here on a Thursday, August 31st, 2017. Every Thursday, Brian Haney joins us. Brian, thanks, man. And we look forward to listening to you on Z96.3 Lake, the home for the Jayhawks in North Central Kansas. Kickoff 6 o'clock, KU hosting Southeast Missouri State. Have a great call, buddy.
Hey, thank you. We so appreciate you guys and your coverage of the Hawks. Hopefully we got 7 or 8 touchdowns to call on a Saturday night and a big rock chalk it up at the end of it as we get this season off to a great start.
Sounds fantastic. We'll talk to you next week. Take care, man.
Thanks a lot. See you, bud.
That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every week by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.